We are starting chapter 36 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I just wanted to see the picture.
There's the picture. Mm-hmm. It's called The Parting of the Ways. And the picture is a real creepy looking skull with a snake coming out of
it. It's the dark mark.
Oh, it's the dark mark. It's creepy though. Mm-hmm. I don't like snakes. Dumbledore stood up. He stared down at Barty Crouch for a moment with disgust on his face. And then he raised his wand once more, and ropes flew out of it, ropes that twisted themselves around Barty Crouch, binding him. He turned to Professor McGonagall. Minerva, could I ask you to stand guard here while I take Harry upstairs? Of course, said Professor McGonagall. She looked slightly nauseous, as though she had been watching someone being sick. However, when she drew out her wand and pointed it at Barty Crouch, her hand was quite steady. Severus, Dumbledore turned to Snape. Please tell Madame Pomfrey to come down here. We need to get Alistair Moody into the hospital wing. Then go down into the grounds. Find Cornelius Fudge and bring him up into this office. He will undoubtedly want to question Crouch himself. Tell him I will be in the hospital wing in a half an hour's time if he needs me. Snape nodded silently and swept out of the room. Harry, said Dumbledore gently. Harry got up and swayed again. The pain in his leg, which he had not noticed all the time he had been listening to Crouch, now returned in full measure. He also realized he was shaking. Dumbledore gripped his arm and helped him out of the dark corridor. I want you to come up to my office first, Harry, he said quietly, as they headed up to the passageway. Sirius is waiting for us there. Harry nodded. A kind of numbness and a sense of complete unreality were upon him, but he didn't care. He was even glad of it. He didn't want to think about anything that had happened since he had first touched the Triwizard Cup. He didn't want to examine the memories, fresh and sharp as photographs, which kept flashing across his mind. Mad-Eye Moody inside the trunk, Wormtail slumped on the ground, cradling the stump of an arm, Voldemort rising from the steaming cauldron, Cedric dead, Cedric asking to be returned to his parents. Professor, Harry mumbled, where are Mr. and Mrs. Diggory? They're with Professor Sprout, said Dumbledore. His voice, which had been so calm throughout the interrogation of Barty Crouch, shook very slightly for the first time. She was head of Cedric's house, and she knew him best. They had reached the stone gargoyle. Dumbledore gave the password, it sprang aside, and he and Harry went up to the moving spiral.
What was the password?
It doesn't say. Oh. The passwords are really dumb because Harry could have heard it and then, right? You'd mm-hmm. think that you would want it such a way that you could take someone.
I think he'd want Harry to know the password a lot of the time.
But in general, right?
I agree. Go ahead.
Okay. And he and Harry went up the moving spiral staircase to the oak door. Dumbledore pushed it aside. Sirius was standing there. His face was white and gaunt as it had been when he had escaped Azkaban. In one swift moment, he'd crossed the room. Harry, are you all right? I knew it. I knew something like this. What happened? His hands shook as he helped Harry into a chair in front of the desk. What happened? He asked more urgently. Dumbledore began to tell Sirius everything Barty Crouch had said. Harry was only half listening. So tired, every bone in his body was aching. He wanted nothing more than to sit here, undisturbed, for hours and hours until he fell asleep. Didn't have to think or feel anymore. There was a soft rush of wings. Fox, the phoenix, had left the perch, flown across the office, and landed on Harry's knee. Hello, Fox, said Harry quietly. He stroked the phoenix's beautiful scarlet and gold plumage. Fox blinked peacefully up at him. There was something comforting about his warm weight. Dumbledore stopped talking.
I think I like Fox.
Yeah, Fox is cool.
I mean, though he's a bird. He's a good bird.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not like a real bird.
Yeah, he's a smart bird.
Yeah. Dumbledore stopped talking. He sat down opposite Harry, behind his desk. He was looking at Harry, who avoided his eyes. Dumbledore was going to question him. He was going to make Harry relive everything. I need to know what happened after you touched the portkey in the maze, Harry, said Dumbledore. We can leave that till morning, can't we, Dumbledore, said Sirius harshly. He put a hand on Harry's shoulder. Let him sleep. Let him rest. Harry felt a rush of gratitude towards Sirius, but Dumbledore took no notice of Sirius's words. He leaned forward toward Harry. Very unwillingly, Harry raised his head and looked into those blue eyes. "If I thought I could help you," said Dumbledore gently, "by putting you into enchanted sleep and allowing you to postpone the moment when you'd have to think about what happened, I would do it. But I know better. Numbing the pain for a short while will make it worse when you finally feel it. You've shown bravery beyond anything I could have expected. I ask you to demonstrate your courage one more time. I ask you to tell us what happened." The phoenix let out one soft, quavering note. It shivered in the air, and Harry felt as though a drop of hot liquid had slipped down his throat into his stomach, warming him and strengthening him. He took a deep breath and began to tell them. As he spoke, visions of everything that had passed the night seemed to rise before him. He saw the sparkling surface of the potion that had revived Voldemort. He saw the Death Eaters apparating between graves around them. He saw Cedric's body lying on the ground beside the cup. Once or twice, Sirius made a noise as though he was about to say something, his hand still tight on Harry's shoulder. But Dumbledore raised his hand to stop him, and Harry was glad of this because it felt easier to keep going now that he had started. It was even a relief. He felt as though something poisonous were being extracted from him. It was costing him every bit of determination he had to keep talking, yet he sensed that once he had finished, he would feel better. When Harry told of Wormtail piercing his arm with a dagger, however, Sirius let out a vehement exclamation, and Dumbledore stood up so quickly that Harry started. Dumbledore walked around to Harry and told him to stretch out his arm. Harry showed them the place where the robes were torn, and the cut beneath them. "He said my blood would make him stronger than if he'd used someone else's," Harry told Dumbledore. "He said the protection my mother left in me, he'd have it too. And he was right, he could touch me without hurting himself. He touched my face." For a fleeting instant, Harry thought he saw a gleam of something like triumph in Dumbledore's eyes. But next second, Harry was sure he had imagined it, for when Dumbledore had returned to his seat behind the desk, he was as old and weary as Harry had ever seen. "Very well," he said, sitting down again. "Voldemort has overcome that particular barrier."
So now he knows that Harry really is a Horcrux, or what is the deal?
Yeah, what does he know? He knows that... I think it's something like it'll damage... I don't remember. Maybe it's that little blood was what kept Harry alive at the end when Voldemort killed him. Right? Voldemort cast a killing spell on Harry at the end, and it couldn't kill Harry completely because Voldemort had Harry's blood still in him. Maybe. Or something. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's maybe. All, like, gibberish anyways.
It's right? Cool, though. It's, like, cool mythology.
It is. It is.
Okay, so yeah. Anyway. Okay. But Dumbledore's awesome.
Yeah.
I like how much he knows. Okay.
Anyways, Harry went on. He explained how Voldemort had emerged from the cauldron, told them how he could remember all... told them all he could remember of Voldemort's speech to the Death Eaters. Then he told how Voldemort had untied him, returned his wand to him, and prepared to duel. But when he reached the part where the golden beams of light connected his and Voldemort's wand, he found his throat obstructed. He tried to keep talking, but the memories of what he had seen come out of Voldemort's wand were flooding into his mind. He could see Cedric emerging, see the old man, Bertha Jorkins, his father, his mother. He was glad when Sirius broke the silence. "The wand's connected," he said, looking from Harry to Dumbledore. "Why?" Harry looked up at Dumbledore again, on whose face there was an arrested look. "Priori incantatum," he muttered. His eyes gazed into Harry's, and it was almost as though an invisible beam of understanding shot between them. "The reverse spell effect?" said Sirius sharply. "Exactly," said Dumbledore. "Harry's wand and Voldemort's wand share cores. Each of them contains a feather from the tail of the same phoenix. This phoenix, in fact," he added. And he pointed at the scarlet and gold bird, perching peacefully on Harry's knee. "My wand's feather came from Fox?" Harry said, amazed. "Yes," said Dumbledore. "Mr. Ollivander wrote to tell me you had bought the second wand the moment you left the shop 4 years ago." So what happens when a wand meets its brother? Said Sirius. They will not work properly against each other, said Dumbledore. If, however, the owners of the wands force the wands to do battle, a very rare effect will take place. One of the wands will force the other to regurgitate spells it has performed in reverse, the most recent first, and then those which preceded it.
I like that. It's cool.
He looked interrogatively at Harry.
I want to get this.
No.
But I want to.
You want a lot of things, don't you?
I know, it's a problem. He's looking at me, going, squeeze me. Here, you squeeze it and let me watch. Just pinch it and see how it feels. That's sexy. Keep doing it.
You're gross.
Do it.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Which means, said Dumbledore slowly, his eyes upon Harry's, that some form of Cedric must have reappeared. Harry nodded again. Diggory came back to life? Said Sirius sharply. No spell can reawaken the dead, said Dumbledore heavily. All that would have happened...
You can.
No.
But not, like, for real.
Right. All that would have happened is a kind of reverse echo. A shadow of the living Cedric would have emerged from the wand. Am I correct, Harry? He spoke to me, said Harry. He was suddenly shaking again. The ghost Cedric, or whatever he was, spoke. An echo, said Dumbledore, which retained Cedric's appearance and character. I'm guessing other such forms appeared, less recent victims of Voldemort's wand. An old man, Harry said, his throat constricted. Bertha Jorkins. And your parents, said Dumbledore quietly. Yes, said Harry. Sirius's grip on Harry's shoulder was so tight now it was painful. The last murders the wand performed, said Dumbledore, nodding, in reverse order. More would have appeared, of course, had you maintained the connection. Very well, Harry. These echoes, these shadows, what did they do? Harry described how the figures that had emerged from the wand had prowled the edges of the golden web, how Voldemort seemed to fear them, how the shadow of Harry's father had told him what to do, and how Cedric had made its final request. At this point, Harry found he could not continue. He looked at Sirius and saw that he had his hands in his face in his hands. Harry suddenly became aware that Fox had left his knee. The phoenix had fluttered to the floor. It was resting its beautiful head against Harry's injured leg, and thick, pearly tears were falling from its eyes onto the wound left by the spider. The pain vanished. The skin mended. His leg was repaired. I will say it again, said Dumbledore, as the phoenix rose into the air and resettled itself upon the perch beside the door. You've shown bravery beyond anything I could have expected of you tonight, Harry. You've shown bravery equal to those who died fighting Voldemort at the height of his powers. You shouldered a grown wizard's burden and found yourself equal to it, and now you've given us all we have a right, given us all we have. Wait, and now you have now given us all we have a right to expect. I don't know. That.
You have now given us all we have a right to expect.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what it is. You will come with me to the hospital wing. I do not want you returning to the dormitory tonight. A sleeping potion and some peace. Sirius, would you like to stay with him? Sirius nodded and stood up. He transformed back into the great black dog and walked with Harry and Dumbledore out of the office, accompanying them down a flight of stairs to the hospital wing. When Dumbledore pushed open the door, Harry saw Mrs. Weasley, Bill, Ron, and Hermione grouped around a harassed-looking Madame Pomfrey. They appeared to be demanding to know where Harry was and what had happened to him. All of them whipped around as Harry, Dumbledore, and the black dog entered, and Mrs. Weasley let out a kind of muffled scream. "Oh, Harry, Harry!" She started to hurry toward him, but Dumbledore moved between them. "Molly," he said, holding up a hand, "please listen to me for a moment. Harry has just been through a terrible ordeal tonight. He has just had to relive it for me. What he needs now is sleep and peace and quiet. And if he would like you all to stay with him," he said, looking around at Ron and Hermione and Bill, too, "you may do so. But I do not want you questioning him until he is ready to answer. Certainly not this evening. Mrs. Weasley nodded. She was very white. She rounded on Ron, Hermione, and Bill as though they were being noisy, and hissed, "Do you hear? He needs quiet." "Headmaster," said Madame Pomfrey, staring at the great black dog that was serious. "This dog will remain with Harry for a while," said Dumbledore simply. "I assure you, he's extremely well trained. Harry, I will wait while you get into bed." Harry felt an inexpressible sense of gratitude toward Dumbledore for asking the others not to question him. It wasn't as though he didn't want them there, but the thought of explaining it all over again, the idea of reliving it one more time, was more than he could stand. "I will be back to see you as soon as I have met with Fudge, Harry," said Dumbledore. "I would like you to remain here tomorrow until I have spoken to the school." He left. As Madame Pomfrey led Harry to a nearby bed, he caught sight of the real Moody lying motionless in a bed at the far end of the room. His wooden leg and magical eye were lying on the bedside table. "Is he okay?" Harry asked. "He'll be fine," said Madame Pomfrey, giving Harry some pajamas and pulling screens around him. He took off his robes, pulled on the pajamas, and got into bed. Ron, Hermione, Bill, and Mrs. Weasley, and the black dog came around the screen and settled themselves in chairs on either side of him. Ron and Hermione were looking at him almost cautiously, as though scared of him. "I'm all right," he told them, "just tired." Mrs. Weasley's eyes filled with tears as she smoothed his bed covers unnecessarily. Madame Pomfrey, who had bustled off to her office, returned holding a small bottle of some purple potion and a goblet. "You'll need to drink all of this, Harry," she said. "It's a potion for dreamless sleep." Harry took the goblet and drank a few mouthfuls. He felt himself becoming drowsy at once. Everything around him became hazy. The lamps around the hospital wing seemed to be winking at him in a friendly way, as though the screen around his body, bed. His body felt as though it were sinking deeper into the warmth of the feather mattress. Before he could finish the potion, before he could say another word, his exhaustion carried him off to sleep. We'll stop there. Yeah, yeah, kitty.
But there's so much left.
Shut. It's time
for... Not even the end of that chapter.
It's time for bed.
Okay.
You're not very critical. You gonna take a nap now? Okay, I'll go put you to bed.
Not yet.
Okay.
But yet.
We'll say goodnight to you.
Goodnight, me.
Goodnight, Carrie Boo. You're very cute. I love you.